up a little bit would be even just the music business in general. It's kind of like the double-edged sword for me, right? Because I'm fortunate enough to be able to work in it, you know, and do it every day and see a lot and be so immersed in it. So, I mean, it's kind of like you're viewing your job as also your hobby too, you know? So it's like you have to find that immediate kind of like relaxing and letting go. But at the same time, you know, like, oh, well, this should be, you know, this is how I think it should be or whatever. So it's been like that constant reminder too, to just again enjoy it and try to like let go of the business side of the brain. But I think a good challenge has been, you know, still recovering from COVID as everybody is, but for a small, you know, business owner, especially music industry, I mean, that was pretty crushing. And you know, we saw tons of our partners go under, tons of bands crumble, tons of business crumble, and it's still taken, you know, what, 5+ years to still try to recover from that. So it's a question of, do you give up, you know, doing what you've, the only thing you've known, do you give that up and just go work in a factory or do something else, or do you figure it out, or like, what do you do, you know? So, I mean, I think that's been like a good challenge too, of still, again, not giving up and no matter what, still doing, you know, I love music, we love music, there's nothing else that we really, you know, would want to do besides, you know, earn businesses in general to not give up, do it for ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And tell us a little bit more about your experience in the music industry. Like, music has fundamentally changed in the last decade, definitely in the last 2 decades.
Absolutely.
You know, I read a lot still of, you know, industry rags and publications and insider stuff. And a lot, I hear a lot about artists and on the record label side and management side of their woes and trials and tribulations, and it's just not as profitable. How does one make it? What is making it now in the music industry to you?
But like, you define your own success, so that's where it kind of starts remembering. But I mean, I guess if you could try to make a living or an earning from it. And it's been, again, that kind of 50-50 thing. I mean, they can say it's the easiest time ever to do that, but it's also more challenging because there's so much noise to have to fight through. So, I mean, I think it's about consistency, kind of finding a niche somewhat, you know, for a new artist or an artist today, or something that can relate to people, you know, and then staying and doubling down on that and figuring it out. I mean, with the digital world, there's a lot of ways to get paid where you could never before, you know, through streaming, through partners, through extra revenue, you know, shares and things like that. So, easier said than done. But I mean, yeah, the challenge still comes to having dedicated time, effort to break an artist. I mean, unfortunately, the way that most of the time it works in the business, and it's always been too, is not always the most talented breakthrough, but kind of who you know, what you can do with, who can help you position, or if you have the most money, you know, to win. So that is a challenge where it's been something hard for me because I'm on the other side of that spectrum of like, I'm all about the talent. You know, I feel like the talent should rise to the top and get the most exposure. So that's where I still fight for the artists to come up with creative ways that we can do that with limited budgeting and limited, you know, connections sometimes and things like that.
What about you, Chris? I mean, sorry, Brian.
I think Chris really nailed that, honestly. I think my perspective there is very much the same. I think that making it depends on the person. I think there's a lot of artists or bands that for them, making it is, you know, selling out a couple hundred person venue or having, you know, 150, 200 people at the show. Versus, you know, some artists, they need to be playing House of Blues to consider that, you know, have made it. For me, I think it's not necessarily a financial thing to where I've considered we've made it, but just playing solid shows is a goal of mine. Having the production that we had at our first show has always been a major goal of mine. Being able to have my drums set up on the drum riser, always a goal that, you know, I feel like we're achieving, and just setting standards for ourselves. And to me, I consider that making it. It doesn't, you know, we have our separate businesses. I don't intend to get rich from the band, or we didn't start the band to make money per se, more of just living out our, you know, kind of dreams of making music we can be proud of, I think.
Yeah. And so you guys are now you've already started working on another music video, your next single, Devil Inside, following a song about overcoming inner demons. Similar to Make It Out Alive, Devil Inside sounds like it delves even deeper into those internal battles and struggles. What aspects of those struggles does this song explore that's different?
I think Devil Inside is just more of the inner demons that, you know, people face within, whether that be depression or anxiety or, you know, anything within yourself. Versus Make It Out Alive is, you know, could be more struggles on the outside that you're getting through, whether that be, like in LaQuinta's case, learning to walk again or something like that, or overcoming challenges, versus, you know, Devil Inside, more of those inner demons. It's everything for me, man. The Cleveland music scene for me, and I think Chris started at Peabody's. I don't know if you're familiar with the club, but it was probably our most legendary venue. Anyone, you know, any band, almost any time has played Peabody's coming through Cleveland. So for us, the reason I think we did Globe Iron was Chris Zidler, who was the owner of Peabody's. When that club got bought and tore down, he moved over and bought the Cleveland Agora. And then he eventually partnered with AEG. And now they have the three venues, Globe, Agora, and Jacob Civilian, all in Cleveland. So he's a talent buyer there who we've become, you know, like, probably over the last 15 years or more, we've become really good friends with. So he was the obvious partner for Cleveland. He's the Cleveland legend, essentially, for music. So for me, it was just incredibly meaningful to bring that relationship back from those early Peabody's days and build something up with Chris again in Cleveland, being, like you said, the home of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Cleveland's rock and roll, the hub, you know? So if we could launch there, I think was kind of the key for us.
Yeah, 100%. I'd say you struck that head on, too. I mean, with Chris, you know, being somebody, too, who believed in this crazy idea from day one. Again, you know, you would think somebody would tell you, you know, like, that's a crazy idea. You guys think you're going to make a band, you're going to make an album and come play this huge club with, like, you know, nothing out yet or, like, growing a fan base. Like, most people would be like, you're fucking crazy. No way, dude. That'll never work, especially in today's world where it's so hard to do that. But somebody like Chris, who, again, was our friend, but, like, on the other business side, too, was like, you know what? Hell, yeah, let's do it. Let's freaking do it. Yeah, I'll put you if you guys want to do it. You know, let's do it together. And he was, like, all for it, too, kind of, and supportive and stuff. And that's hard to find. And promoters or clubs or anybody, you know, who would take that risk on us. I mean, he took a huge gamble on us. And being from the home of rock and roll here, too, was just important to us and something we'll remember forever, too. I mean, just the experience of having so many friends and family, so many cool, supportive people there, was just all good vibes, you know, based around the club, based on the night, just based on everything. So, I mean, I think, you know, even performance aside or anything, it was just a memorable experience of christening that new club that we hope will be there for, you know, a long time and bring tons of other great shows through. And for us, for what it's worth, you know, to remember, like, we were the first there, you know, I mean, that'll always be there, so.
Very cool.
Yeah, that, to be the first in that venue is absolutely legendary. I know it's just a short time away. That venue will be a legendary landmark in Cleveland, and just to be able to open it up just meant the absolute world to us.
Yeah. And what's next for you guys? Where are you on your, you have a tour scheduled in July at an upcoming festival. What is that in Dayton or Toledo or something?
That one's in Mansfield, Ohio. We'll be doing the Saturday date of the Incarceration Festival down there. Yeah. Which will be really exciting. And that's another, again, a huge opportunity for us to get in front of so many new fans. The festival has, you know, some of the biggest names in rock and heavy metal on it. So to get our name even included on that flyer, you know, again, so early on is an honor and something we won't take lightly, that, you know, we'll be prepared. We'll be ready. We'll want to bring entertainment and bring the people a good time and have fun doing it, you know?
Nice.